Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner coming to you from the Sojourner's World Hub, and we're on the Internet Pod tonight, and we're going to be thinking in terms of what's next. That's the title of my message tonight. And our scripture is found in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. I want to welcome those of you who are perhaps listening in Honolulu. We're starting a new work there, and we know that people in Honolulu have been hitting our site. We now have a Honolulu page up. It's not as involved as it will be, but we have something up to show that we're alive and well and there. And Pastor Simpkins is really enjoying what he's doing there. There's a little note there from him. If you want to go to the Honolulu page, just go to our index page, and you'll see where it says Fellowships, and you'll see where it says Honolulu, Hawaii. And it'll have a little new starburst sort of thing beside it so that you know it's a new page on the site. We also want to say that our prayers are with Pastor Peter in India. He is, this week, interpreting for a ministers' conference of 1,200 ministers. And he is doing the interpretation all this week at the conference. He's quite skilled. Not only does he speak English, but he speaks about, I think it's 5, maybe 6 Indian dialects as well. And he's often called on to do that, and does very well at it. So I want to say a welcome to them, and then people from Kenya and Nigeria and Uganda. We want to hit Africa tonight a little bit there, and just welcome those of you who are listening, and those of you from Quebec, Canada, and those of you from New Brunswick, Canada, and Alberta, Canada. We want to say hi to you and welcome you. We're glad that you're with us, and we hope that this message really really blesses you and gives you some things to think about and is helpful to you. So, our scripture is found in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. This is a familiar story to those of you who are familiar with the book of John. But perhaps as you, those of you who have been around with me for a while know that it's going to be a little different than probably what you've heard on this particular scripture. But I think that you'll see the importance of the message and what's next. So, we'll of course be, using the, NIV to allow English speakers around the world equal understanding of the words used, because that's what the International Version does, and we're so thankful for it. So verse 1, John chapter 9 through verse 11. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I could see." That's our scripture for this time together. What's next? Now, that's not saying I'm going to get into this. That is the title of this message. What's next? One of the quick methods to determine a person's mental state, whatever it happens to be, is to ask, if they know where they are and what the date is. This is often done by emergency medical people delivering medical care after a person has been in an automobile accident. You see, it's important to know where you are, not only physically, but where you are in time. So people will ask, you know, what's your name? They'll ask, where are you? What's the date? What day of the week is it? This sort of thing, to locate people's ability to know and be know where they are, what's going on, to see if they're in touch with reality or maybe they've had a head injury or whatever like that. But this is not the only time that's important in life, and as I go through this, I think you'll see this. Time and place are very important. Think about it. It is important to know where you are and the point in time where you are. Not only where you are physically, but the point in time where you are. We all function within this very important framework. It would, in fact, be quite impossible to do almost anything but perhaps sleep without being aware of time and place. It's also important to know the truth of the Word of God as to where we are oriented, to the time in which we live and the place we hold within God's kingdom. That's an important thing. Where are we? What is the place that we hold within God's kingdom? Now, the healing of the blind man in our story gives us an opportunity to look at this very thing. And then we can see something I think that we might not ordinarily think about in the normal course of our just daily walk and going around. When Jesus and his disciples encountered the blind man in our scripture, the disciples were stuck in the wrong time. They were a part of what God was doing, but were stuck in the law and condemnation. They saw the blind man's blindness as a result of some punishment for some terrible sin. Missing the mark. Remember that I teach you the word sin means to fall short or miss the mark. So they were focused on that. They're looking, okay, who messed up? Who didn't do it right? Who wasn't perfect? Now, Jesus was with them to establish grace, but they were in the wrong time, in the right place. You see, they were in the right place. They were there with Jesus, but they were functioning in the wrong time. That's not what God was doing. It was never God's intention to beat up on people anyway. But that's where man had begun to interpret the law and what was happening there. The disciples were perpetuating what they understood rather than what was happening next. You see, they were a part of a transition. And so they weren't perceiving what was happening next because they weren't even thinking in those terms. You know, many of us might need to realize that right now, in this time and place that God has ordained, we're in a transition. We're in a transition. We are in the last days. Oh, am I saying that the world's going to burn up into a cinder? No, that's not what I'm saying. But we're in the last days of an age, the age of grace. You see, it's God's desire to bless. And it's not only his desire to bless, but to demonstrate a kind and loving God through his son Jesus. That's what he was doing there with this encounter with this blind man. Jesus tells the disciples in John 9:4 of our scripture, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. Jesus was oriented to the time of what was happening. He knew what was to be done next. Now, we'll come back to this later. Keep that in mind, though. Jesus knew what was to be done next. Now, Jesus was also oriented to the place where they were, which he demonstrated, you see, with what he said in verse 5. Let's take a look at that. In verse 5, he said, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, he's not in the world in the same way now, but we are. He left us here, we who believe, to operate in faith and be a light to the world. Jesus spoke of being in the world. He was, as we are, for that time in the world. He knew his purpose, and not only his purpose, but what to do to fulfill his purpose. Jesus knew what to do next. You see, I keep coming back to that. What to do next, Jesus knew. Now, Jesus took action. Jesus took the necessary action to perform a blessing on the man blind to the world around him in a physical sense, as the disciples were blind in the understanding sense. You see, the blind man understood where he was and what was going on, but he couldn't comprehend it because he couldn't see it. The disciples could see what the blind man couldn't see, but they were blind and not comprehending or understanding what God was doing. Very important thing. So then, Jesus gives instruction to the blind. He'll give instruction to us in areas where we're blind. But let's look what he did here with this man. When Jesus made mud with the spittle, and how many of you have ever heard that something was clear as mud and you needed an explanation on it? When Jesus made mud with his spittle, he then told the blind man what to do next. Knowing what to do next is very important. Just as important as what to do next is the doing of it. It doesn't do you any good. You see, it's of little use to know time, you know, what time and place you are without knowing what to do and when to do it. This is very important. In any job or any function that we do, the important thing that we get with our learning is we learn what to do next. We learn the continuity of making something happen. It doesn't do any good for people to be in an operating room and a surgeon standing there with a scalpel in his hand or her hand and not know what to do next. Oh, they're oriented to time and place. They know where they are. They can tell you the date. But there's something more to where you are. You see, yes, that's important for the emergency crew when they show up to the person who's been in the automobile accident, because they're looking to see if there was brain damage. But in our normal course of life, that's something that we need to know. We need to know what to do next. Just being there isn't enough. The doing for the blind man's part was receiving from Jesus as recorded in John 9:7 there of our scripture. Well, let's take a look at that. What does this tell us? In John 9:7, he says to the blind man, "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent, it tells us in the scripture. Sent. Isn't this interesting? He sends him to carry out an action. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. You see, if you're a believer, your home's in heaven. And if you allow the scales to be removed from your eyes, if you allow to see things as God sees them, when you see them, you can go home to Him. When you go home, you'll know where you're going and why. You'll be able to see things others don't see, because much of what's in the Scripture is, the Scripture tells us, is a mystery and is foolishness to those people who do not believe. So when Jesus made mud with his spittle, he then told the blind man what to do next. Very important. The doing, you see, for the blind man was so important. It is important here to notice, as I said, that the name of the place is sent, because he sent him to do something. We have all been sent to do something, believers or unbelievers. We just need to be believers and seek the Lord to find out what it is we've been sent to do. Let him communicate with us. So, you see, this is what Jesus did. He did it exactly when sending the man to the pool to take part in his own ability to see. You see, God expects us to take part in our own ability to see and understand what He has for us. We must go help wash that from our eyes. Now, we were made from the very clay of the earth that Jesus put on this man's eyes. That clay itself may have been a transforming thing, but I know the important thing was that Jesus knew what to do next. He told the man what to do next, and the man did what he was told to do next, and as a result, he was able to see. The next thing he did was to come home seeing. He came back in a way to himself and able to see and do what he was created to do. And so he returned home to show, demonstrate, and testify as to what had happened to opening of his eyes. You see, that's what we're to do. We're to testify. We're to demonstrate. We're to show people what has happened with us as a result of our encounter with Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One. So then we have these three things: time, place, and next. Earlier I said Jesus was oriented to the time of what was happening. He knew what was to be done. He also knew the place. You see, it's very important to be oriented to time and place. I know it sounds like I just keep saying this, but this is very important to catch. But if you do not know what to do next, you are still uncertain, confused, and disoriented as to the future. I encounter people every day who are uncertain, confused, and disoriented as to what to do next in their life. Oh, they know where they are. They know what's going on. As a matter of fact, they may be very uncomfortable or very happy where they are, but they know where they are. But they need to know what to do next. Injured people, where first aid is concerned, only need to know time and place to pass the first evaluation of their condition. Life, however, requires that we know what is the best thing to do next. The knowing of what needs done next is the key element in completing our course. This knowledge comes through the Holy Spirit. You see, we have been given, believers have gifts from the Holy Spirit. We can know things that others cannot understand how we know. We were just talking before I started the message here about how we were chuckling a little bit about and laughing about how mothers will say, if you do something, I'll find it out, I'll know, because they seem to just have this sense that tells them. I think that's something that God put in there for the protection of children, so that the mothers would know. And because they were perhaps more closely over the years to the rearing of the children, because the father might be away, at work. He might be away hunting for whatever food to bring it in to the family. These kinds of things. The Holy Spirit, you see, communicates with us, giving us words of knowledge and discernment. You know, just having the knowledge sometimes doesn't mean that we know what to do with the knowledge. We don't know what to do next. But discernment, this gift from the Holy Spirit, will let us know what to do next. So with the knowledge that we have, it can be a very clear path if we will simply listen. If we will do what the blind man did, if we will just then, once we know it, once we have the discernment to see it, then if we'll just do what we've been sent to do, oh, my friends, life can be so different than what most people experience. We must be sensitive to the Spirit to know what to do next. And that's my message for this session. Now, if this message meant something to you, if you realized that you needed to maybe get a little closer to the Lord, if you say, well, I've always thought that was foolishness, but suddenly I heard this and I heard the Scripture and this all made sense to me, then just tell the Lord you want Him to come into your life, come into your heart, and you want to be with Him, and you want to listen to Him. Get into the Word. Tell Him, I want to be into the Word. I want to learn this. Just go to the Father and say this. Just pray this prayer to come into your life. He'll do it. and then you're in. If you've done that, now just in the hearing of me, if you're saying yes, that's what I want, then you're in. You have come to the Lord. Now then, if you're somebody who's made a commitment in the past or been close to the Lord, and maybe you just sort of floated away a little bit, just come back and say the same thing. Say, I'm sorry, but I'm back, and I realize how important it is, because I know where I am, and I think I know what time it is, but maybe I don't know spiritually what time it is, and there are many things I need to know, but I'm willing to listen to your Holy Spirit speak to me, because Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I just maybe sort of forgot it for a little bit. He will draw close to you whenever you draw close to Him. Now, if you need some help in this regard, just contact me, The Sojourner, at SojournersHub.org. That's The Sojourner, all one word, at SojournersHub.org. Send me an email. I'll be glad to communicate with you. We'll do anything we can to help you grow in the Lord. We're so thankful that you're here, and we want you to know that. I will pray this blessing on you, and then that will conclude this broadcast. But please contact me. Here's the blessing. The blessing of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.